We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verse 40 this morning. So I have a question for you this morning that I want to start off with. It's a question that I think I forget to ask myself from time to time. And I think it goes a little something like this. Who wants to know God's heart? Who wants to know God? No one? Maybe I'm in the wrong crowd. I'll leave. Maybe we'll just hit the church up down the way. Who wants to know God's heart? Man, yeah. Yeah, I do. Well, it's not a trick question. It's all good. But, you know, as I think about that question, and as much as I point at you, I pointed at myself, I want to know God's heart. And God, as I was putting and prepping this message together, He said, you know, my heart, James, is devotion. And I was like, wow, Lord, that's really heavy. He's like, no. He's like, you don't understand. He's like, it's not about your devotion. He says, I am devoted to you. I was like, whoa, hold on, Lord. Well, I know you're devoted to me. He's like, no, be quiet. He says, I am devoted to you. Did you forget? I mean, like, how do we forget that? How do we forget that we serve a God that is absolutely devoted to us? He is, it doesn't matter what you do, He's devoted to you. And I love that. I love that about my God, is that He is solely devoted to us individually. He's solely devoted to us corporately. He loves us. He's just crazy about us. The only thing is as I was thinking about that, it's funny how a lot of times when we think about how God great is, we go back to our past when we didn't know Him. And I was thinking, man, you can't know devotion unless you know God. You just, devotion doesn't exist without God. And I was like, wow, man. It's so awesome that God has given us that wisdom. I remember my mom, when I was younger, reading Bible stories to me. We had this big, thick Bible story book. Like, they don't even make them like that anymore. You could, like, knock out an elephant with it. It was, like, made back in the dinosaur times. But she would read us stories of David and read us stories of Abraham and Noah and all our Old Testament patrons. And I just remember, you know, looking at what was right and what was wrong. And even though as I looked at it and I saw what was right and what was wrong, a lot of times I would just not get the heart behind it. And I think the older I've gotten, it's hard. It's hard when you don't know the Lord, when you don't know devotion, to know the heart of something. For example, there were so many people in my life before I knew the Lord that were very stern with me and tried to give me instruction, and I didn't understand it because their desire was really to help me. Right? It seemed counterintuitive. And then there was people who were really sweet to me, that really wished destruction upon me, and maybe not intentionally, but I couldn't know a man's motive. I can't read people's minds. I don't know people's hearts. We can't know man's heart. We can't know any of these things until we come face to face with our Lord and Savior. And wow, that was just like, man, thank you, Lord, for being devoted. Thank you that I don't have to walk around in the dark trying to guess whose heart is what. And, you know, it's plainly stated that all man's heart is wicked in Jeremiah. So I don't have to, I understand people do the things they do to get the things they want. Easy. And I know that God's heart is devoted to me. But as I look at that, as I see Jesus doing this awesome work of devotion, I started remembering when God showed me His grace for the first time, His heart of grace. And I don't think I didn't realize it at the time. You know, I remember times where I should have been dead, times where I should have been put in jail, times where, you know, all should have forsaken me, but yet He put people in my life, yet He manifested Himself, yet He just kept on showing His devotion, pouring His devotion out on my life. Whether I was, you know, sitting in a crack house smoking crack or, you know, doing whatever I was doing. He loved me, even there. And it blows my mind to this day. And I remember when I finally, after 35 years of doing what I wanted, not understanding devotion, that He spoke to me because I was broken. He spoke to me. He said, "Hey, I've been here this whole time. I've been waiting for You, and I want Your heart." I'm like, wow, Lord, that is... When I heard that for the first time internally and could like process that, for the first time, I understood devotion. He showed me devotion. He poured devotion into me. And as soon as I gave Him my heart and I died to self and He gave me His heart, then wow, the first thing that my heart said, it leapt and it said, "I want to follow Jesus." That's what it says. I mean, devotion begets devotion. It was like He jumped in and He was ready to go. He's ready to go. And that's wonderful to have that happen to someone who has been lost. You know, I wanted His heart so bad. And it has been 10 years since Jesus took residence in my heart, guys. And I find myself wanting to know His heart more. The more I go, the more I want to know His heart. The more I go, the more. And I don't always succeed. And so the biggest question I have been pondering is of late, that I can say these words up here, pointing to myself. Do I do everything to seek and to know God's heart? Am I devoted? I recently taught a class in junior high on community. It was a lot of fun, and I did it for like 3 weeks. And at the end of our time together, as I taught them about community, as I showed them about the first century church and just all the excitement there was and the Holy Spirit being poured out on man and the kingdom of heaven coming to earth, I told them at the end of the time, I said, "You know what?" I said, "You know, community is so important to God. He wants us to be partakers and share in His devotion through one another. You know, He wants us to be there for one another." And I said, "Just turn to your friend or turn to the person sitting next to you and just look him in the eyes and say, 'I'm devoted to you.'" Well, needless to say, I'm thinking, I'm not going to do that to you guys today. But I think that it was interesting, as they did it, they began to think. They began to think, "Am I devoted?" You could see whether it was out of ignorance or whether it was, you know, just out of realizing that they weren't, you know, aligned with the Lord at that moment, that there was something. And there was something. Have you ever seen fallacies in other people that it's like all, it becomes a mirror image of yourself? You all of a sudden see yourself in that foul, like in their sin. You see yourself. You're like, "Oh my, I'm guilty of that." And so as I saw those young people struggling with that idea, I walked away, and it's been probably, I don't know, it's been weeks since the Lord has had the concept of devotion on my mind. And so I just, what I really enjoyed is as the discomfort hit the room, one of them says, "Is this what condemnation feels like?" And another kid chimed in from somewhere else and said, "No, that's what you dip your chicken nuggets in." But God does not desire condemnation for us. Even when, you know, we're not doing it right, even when, you know, His heart doesn't change. His devotion doesn't change. It's not set upon what we do or what we don't do. We just have to believe. We just got to be ready. And I love that. And I love seeing kids, you know, think about that. But the more I sat and thought about it, the more I wanted to forget what I knew about devotion. And the more I wanted to relearn what devotion was. And I think we need to do that from time to time. I think we get lazy. I think we lose grip. And I think that in that, in God's devotion with the Holy Spirit in us, we have to walk circumspectly. We have to look at ourselves. We can't forget, you know, when we look in the mirror, when we walk away, we don't want to forget our face, right? So we ask the question, am I devoted? Can we just make an agreement right now? I just want to make an agreement between the audience and myself that can we just lay what we know right now just down and then we can find it again together in His Word? Can we do that? All right. Let's go ahead and look at these passages in Acts 2:40. Just to give you a little opening to open up on the scene. Man, God has blown Jerusalem apart with His love. His Holy Spirit has just, if you could had, just a spiritual visual of God's love pouring, it was just a waterfall. It was just gushing everywhere and all over Jerusalem through His disciples. And it's just such a beautiful depiction as Peter is calling people out and preaching to them for the first time, filled by the Spirit. God is just using him. He's just a puppet for God, a vessel of God, just speaking words of eternal truth and reshaping the reality around him. And it says, and with many other words, he testified. He testified to God. He testified to the gospel and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Man, I love that. Because that's where we can start picking up the pieces. When we set down devotion and we forget about devotion, if we want to pick it back up, it all starts with repentance. It's such a beautiful thing. A lot of us as Christians, like it's after we, give our heart to God, I think repentance is, I don't know why it's such a foreign word in our vocabulary. It is. Repentance is it's just not something we like to think about. We like to be right. And I think when I see this, all devotion starts with brokenness and repentance, and we cannot partake of what God has in store for us if we do not eliminate ourselves from the equation. We have to all the things that we want, all the frivolous things we want, all the things that keep us distracted. We have to turn away from them. We have to turn away from this life, and we got to turn to God. We have to turn to Him. We have to be broken enough to do it. Because all this stuff over here, we will allow it. We'll let it sustain us. We'll let it sustain us. The bills, the houses, the cars, whatever we like. TV, movies, whatever it is. Fantasy, whatever it is. Anything. Food. Just anything over here. It'll sustain me. It'll get me. In ministry, it'll sustain me. We'll do it. We can do this. But no, God says, turn away from the perverse generation. Turn away from perversity. Turn away from things that aren't me. He says, turn to me. He said, and I will show you devotion. And so it takes a while for a lot of us to get there and realize repentance is a daily word. It's a daily word. It's okay. Don't be scared. That's wonderful. That's wonderful that we keep on getting to screw up and we keep on getting to say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. Let's do this again. And the whole time, He's just like, I love you. I'm so devoted to you. He's so devoted. So He wishes us all to come to repentance. So this isn't a thing for just, if you're wondering, it's for, my wife and me and not you. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but in long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance means growth. Repentance means development. Repentance means that, man, he's got a plan, and that you've got to turn to him to see that. It's just, that's what it means to make an about face, to turn and find him. This is not a one-time deal. Remember that. And as we sin in life, we need to realize our propensity to wander. Never neglect that. Make sure, in your daily walk, when you're reading your word, when you're being, you know, circumspect, realize it is your natural desire to wander from God. It is who we are. And he's given us repentance to fight that. And he's also given us something more powerful than even that. So this whole thing can happen in the most unusual times when we're holding on to the things of this world. It could even be sitting in this church right now while you're looking at me and you're seeing my mouth move, and it's kind of like the Charlie Brown teacher. And I'm just like, wah, 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 wah. And you're just thinking about, you know, all of your world, all the sickest things, all the twisted things, all the things that you wouldn't utter in daylight. But, guys, it can happen wherever you're at, but repent, guys. Let's clear our minds so that we might find God's devotion this morning to let go of the flesh of this world. It's all good. We can do it. We'll do it together. So verse 41, it says, then those who gladly received the word, so it's a choice, we choose to, you know, receive the sacrifice of Christ, and they were, they received the word and were baptized. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not just the water. They were baptized by God's word and his devotion, and it poured out. Their devotion was so powerful that 3,000 souls were added to them that day. You know, I don't know what's a crazier devotion, 3,000 souls being saved, or that God would just die for even if it was one of us. I don't get it. I don't understand that kind of devotion. I'm not going to act like I do. I see 3,000 being saved and I praise the Lord, but then he says, yeah, but I do it all for you. So we see this, they get saved, Holy Spirit's moving. We see even like they're just new creatures at this point, all these people. at this point, right after this, we see in Acts chapter 4 and 29 through 31, you don't have to turn there, but we see that Paul, it's like this outcome of Paul and John healing the lame man, and they went in and they got arrested, and there's this whole rigmarole of like, hey, you guys can't speak the word of Jesus anymore, you know, and we know that these people are known for persecuting Christians and killing Christians, and they knew that the Christians were on the radar of the Jewish hierarchy. And you know what they did? They just started praying for boldness. They just start praying for boldness, man. Boldness means it's freedom. Boldness, it means freedom. And we have the freedom to have his devotion pouring through us. We do. It's wonderful that we have this opportunity. And so they're just, you know, these people of understanding this devotion, they find it in the Holy Spirit. Because what's being poured out is the Holy Spirit. And that fire of when we repent, when we ask for God's heart, that Holy Spirit is what drives your devotion. It drives our devotion. We cannot be devoted outside of having the Holy Spirit in us. And when they were baptized in it, it was like, it was devotion time. And so when they were devoted, once the Holy Spirit entered them, then all of a sudden things started happening. Things started being reshaped. And that's what God's devotion does. It reshapes mankind. And it says, and then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So now, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit has done such a wild work, they use this word that it says steadfastly. Now, upon, you know, just looking at it, it says they continue steadfastly. Okay, well, that's great. But when you look at the word steadfastly in the Greek, which I'm not going to slaughter the word, but what it means is that it means to support and to be devoted or constant to one. It means to continue all the time in a place. It means to be unwavering. It's to be there with their people, with God's people, and to be with God and to commune with God and just to hold on to God. And we see them do this in a way that is just so amazing, because I see the church today, and I don't think that necessarily the church today needs to look like the church then, but I do think that if we were empowered by the Holy Spirit, it would look just crazy. Our reality would be transformed before us. And I know it is to some extent, but when we really become totally devoted in doctrine and in fellowship, you know what this means? I don't know about you guys. When was the last time you guys talked about doctrine with someone? See, they had to talk about doctrine because the Jewish doctrine was so nasty and vile and just plastic. And it was just what it became was dead religion. And, you know, I think about all the things of the world that look like Christianity and that are dying and are dead religion, but yet we buy into it. And, you know, there's so many things that the enemy uses and this world uses to distract us. And I think to myself, man, why am I not talking about this? Why are we not talking about this together? Why are we not bringing these topics up? Why are we not talking about doctrinal issues? Why are we not having fellowship and having hard conversations and still being friends? How much idle chit-chat do we have with our friends that has nothing to do with Christ? We don't see these guys doing that here at all, which is something that tells me something. It says, actually, that they had genuine fellowship, not plastic fellowship. They had real fellowship, authentic fellowship, really being able to, you know, say what they wanted to say. Telling about their hurts to one another, ministering to one another, reaching out and praying for one another. I mean, wow. You know, it's so crazy when you think about how that first church, how they did. That, you know, I think the one thing that would really freak us out is if I just showed up on a Tuesday night for no reason, and I just came knocking on your door, and I had some matzah, and I had some grape juice, and I was like, hey, man, I just want to do communion with you. Let's talk about Jesus, man. You guys would think that my grape juice is fermented and I had too much to drink. But man, why wouldn't I want to come over to your house and remind you about how God is working in our lives? Why wouldn't we want to have fellowship? Why wouldn't we want to break bread together? Why wouldn't we want to have communion together? Why wouldn't we want to remember the sacrifice of Christ? Why is the sacrifice of Christ so nonchalant? Shouldn't it be something revered? Shouldn't it be something that he gave the sacrifice and he defeated death and then he let us experience his devotion? I'm like, wow, man, these guys knew what was up. These guys knew what was up. And I love this. I love that, you know, they're remembering Jesus. And so really when we find devotion, when we pick this up, just so we don't lose track, guys, is that we have to have repentance. And then when we have repentance, the Holy Spirit comes in and starts doing this work. And then when he does that work, guess what? Like, it's imperative. Like, the only thing that the Holy Spirit is going to remind you about is glorifying God in Jesus. It's going to be about Jesus, what he did, and what He wants to do and how He wants to do it. He wants to develop you through devotion, and He's going to do that. And it's just going to keep on. You're going to want to share Jesus with you, with other people, because He is the only hope. Amen? Is He the only hope? So I look at that, and I think that, wow, man, people just stopping by just to break bread. People stopping by just to remember Jesus. Man, I can't even tell you. You know what? Most of us would be like, hey, it's Harry again, man. Just act like we're not home. It's that crazy pastor again. Please get him out of my front yard. But we find devotion in Jesus, don't we? If this was a competition, we'd lose. Hands and feet down on a cross, He wins when it comes to devotion. So, as we know Jesus, we begin to know better who we are in the kingdom. The kingdom us. Understanding our new identity, the new norm of, you know, of what He wants, what Jesus wants. And, you know, as we do that, we begin to pray. We begin to communicate. Guys, I cannot tell you the importance of communication within the fellowship, within your life with believers, but this is something that they knew how to do. You realize that any human construct without communication will fall? It can be a friendship. It can be marriage. It can be a business. It doesn't matter. Such a simple concept. And yet, here we are. I wonder how good our communication skills are these days to confront instead of like wondering, like wanting people to read your mind, right? Don't you do that? You set expectations in your mind and you, well, they should surely know that, and you never say anything. See, the devotion of Jesus, he requires us to talk. He requires us to speak. And most of all, He wants us to speak to Him, to speak. Think about Jesus while He was here on earth. Who was He communicating with? He's our perfect example. He was going to the Father. Think of all the things that He got through because of His prayer and communication, working through the problem. It strengthened His faith. The Father encouraged Him. The Father showed His devotion. The Father's like, you know I'm not going to leave you. You know I'm going to be here for you. You know I'm going to raise you up. You know I'm going to do those things. And so that He wants to communicate with you because He wants to remind you of that devotion. He wants to remind you. This is an encouragement to each of you guys. So when we look back, where we find devotion, if we were to pick it back up, is what? Repentance. Holy Spirit, then what? Does anybody remember? Remembering Jesus, sacrifice that Jesus, just remembering Jesus, sharing Jesus, thinking about Jesus. I would like to say, have a copious amount of Jesus, abundant Jesus, drowned in Jesus. He lavishes us in His love, which means it's like, you're lavishing is just, you're in it. You're in it. And so that is who we are. And then where we find devotion is in prayer. And so there we have it. Now we know where to find it. Okay? Now we can grab a hold of it and we can get on to the next part of this message, which is what it looks like. Now what it looks like is so cool. When I started looking at this, it just blew my mind that the Lord wants to use us in this way. But when He does, it will change the face of everything you know. It will blow your mind. And so the first thing I want to look at, if you were to look at the construct of the scriptures that I just gave you, of the church coming together in fellowship, sharing things, just hanging out, you know, baptized in the Spirit, just praying, communicating, doing all these things, the first thing that you see is that there is a loyalty. Loyalty. I thought I was loyal until I found out I was a sinner. I don't know, it almost seems like it should be in a country song. But it really is. Loyalty can only be found in Jesus. So think about this. We have this loyalty that God has brought into our heart through the Holy Spirit. And you see it there. There's that freedom again. The freedom to stick around. The freedom to do what's right, even though it might be the hardest thing to do. And I think to myself that in Galatians 6:2, it rings in the back of my head, share each other's burdens, and in this, obey the law of Christ. Man, sharing someone's burdens probably means that you're not going to go through the best part of their life with them in that moment. But this is the loyalty that God brings to the man that is saved. It means we don't have to leave in the nearest sign of trouble. I mean, honestly, I know that it just seems cliche to say, but could you imagine if Jesus left you every time you had a hard time? We wouldn't be sitting here together, guys. We wouldn't. But it's something to kind of, all right, like there we go. Like that hits. Simple. But he stays there. And when we choose to let the Holy Spirit strengthen us where we stand, we can be part of the solution and not the problem, guys. So often we blame the church, that the church isn't loyal. Man, we are the church. So if the church ain't loyal, you ain't loyal. All right? It's funny, huh? It's funny how that we want loyalty from other people to be absolute, but we you know, when it comes to our loyalty, it can be subjective. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'll get back with you. Maybe something better will come up. But when we want people to be loyal to us, huh? We'll even go as far as to tell them, well, you better, you know, you better. Man, what if God said, you better? We'd be in a whole lot of trouble. And, you know, we know that because we saw what the, you know, us up against the law, us next to the law of God, what that does. Yeah, man, we need that grace. We need that devotion. We need His love. We need that Spirit. So, guys, when we choose to let the Holy Spirit strengthen us, we stand. Many people, guys, you're going to come into across people in the church that they're going to have their own agenda, and a lot of times expect people to read their mind, like I said, and when people don't, they will leave. Their loyalty will just not stand, and we must remember, you know, guys, to be in tune with the Spirit, to encourage others when we start seeing them fall that way, and they're just like, yeah, you know, I can't do this, you know, the worship stinks, or, you know, the snacks just aren't fresh, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, or I don't know the pastor this, or whatever. Man, if God has called you here, He has put the people around you He wants you to be with, and who He wants you to help encourage, and who He wants you to build up. And we forget that. I want you to remember Jeremiah 17:7-8. Because when we do, when we encourage others and we want to be, when we want to trust in the Lord, when we want His will to be done, even when we don't get what we want and we remain loyal, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Guys, let's face it. When we are rooted and grounded in the Spirit and the devotion of God, then you know what? I've never seen a tree walk away. Never seen a tree run. What do? They plant themselves and they stay. They're grounded and they grow. So, guys, we so often forget that. That when we give over to this concept of loyalty and we just trust in the Lord, unity is a natural outcome. People are going to want to be a part of that. People want to be around people who encourage one another. People want to be around people who love one another. People want to be around the devotion of God coming out of people. I know I do. I know I do. I love being around brothers and sisters that are full of the Holy Spirit and, You know, I know there's times when they're down and you know, we just got to kind of balance each other out. And when I'm down, they balance me out. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have that loyalty in the worst of times. And it's wonderful to have unity. You know, I could take any four of us right now and say, let's go out to eat. And no, we wouldn't agree on what we wanted to go have. All right? So just magnify that by a lot and say, okay, we're all going to get along in this room. And I'm not saying just because you're sitting here, you're getting along. I'm saying that you're actually in your heart desiring to be here, wanting to fellowship, desiring to be of one-mindedness, desiring to want to get along. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. We can make it look good, but God's heart is to make our heart good. And so, unity, when loyalty takes root, unity will find that like-mindedness that we see throughout the scriptures. We must be devoted to like-mindedness, guys. Devoted. Which means confrontation, guys. It doesn't mean we get to have easy conversations. It goes back to them talking about doctrine and all, you know, having fellowship. It doesn't mean we're always going to agree. It's going to mean that, hey, I get to have an argument with you and we can still be friends. As a matter of fact, we'll still be brothers. It means that we can just not agree, but we can find a place to say, you know what, Jesus is on the throne and we love Jesus. So let Jesus figure this one out. But we don't, do we? So let's look at Philippians 2, 1 through 4. It just says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. I love that. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's how we get it done, guys. Putting the brother right next to you above yourself. Putting their needs above yours. How hard is that? How hard is that? That's hard, isn't it? We want to call ourselves Christians, little Christs. And yet, we don't want to put people before us. Could you imagine that you only have enough food to feed yourself? The people around you don't know that. But you know there's people that are going hungry around you, that are next to you. Could you give of yourself? Could you give it away? And you know, I find places where you see poverty and you see people who have nothing and they're ready to give it all away. They're ready to give it all away. And so unity happens when we put each other before one another. And again, the communication, talking with one another, having the hard conversations. But then, what does it say? It says, then, what? His joy. It will be his joy. Back up there where it said, I see a couple of you people looking confused. It says, fulfill my joy by being of one accord and of one mind. Whose joy is that? Whose joy is that? Right. It's Paul. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. It's his joy, but it's God's joy. And guess what happens when we have God's joy? What do you think? Do we become sad? Do we become like Eeyore? Was that the first century church, Eeyore? Okay, guys, I guess we're going to have to pray. All right, I know Dave has got idols back into the back room. I know we need to talk to him about it. Oh, I know, but like I was saving this dessert for myself, you know? I really don't want to share all my stuff. I just, you know, write that down to make it look good. This is not the joy of the Lord. And when you can look anywhere in Psalms when it talks about joy. When I pulled the word joy up, joy is like everywhere over the Old Testament. Everybody thinks like the Old Testament was like crazy hard. It's like, man, people knew the joy of the Lord. As a matter of fact, I'd have to say that in the hardest times of my life, I knew the joy of the Lord. True joy. My brother just the other night told me a story of a couple of people over in Vietnam or over in Asia or China. I forget where the church is being persecuted. And, you know, these guys are arguing over who's going to get the bullet, a bullet in the head, be executed. You know, one pastor's like, I'll go. And the other pastor's like, nope, I'm going for you. And then another pastor's like, no, I'm going to go. And then the one finally says, hey, I'm ordained. I'm going to go. So that guy gets shot and another guy gets shot. And the other two of them escape. And when these two guys escape, they come back and start sharing it over in America, their story. And they're like, so, man, like, you know, that's crazy. He's like, but they're like, but. They're like, they said they never felt so close to Christ, but in the midst of that time, that they never felt God's joy. Even though it was a horrifying situation, they were giving up their lives. They were devoted to the end. And I just, man, that's just crazy. I want that joy, though. I want that joy. And if that takes me to uncomfortable places, praise the Lord. Let His joy, let me put others before me that I can experience that joy. That is what devotion looks like. Devotion, if you haven't been keeping track, looks like loyalty, it looks like unity, and it looks like joy. And so lastly, what it looks like is love. Guys, the love of God. Now guys, as children of God, we're in a bit of a pickle over this whole love thing because we like love on our terms, and true love, like agape love, like sacrificial love, it hurts because a lot of times what we put in, what we don't get out of the person we're loving, right? And a lot of times it's like, oh man, Lord, that means I got to trust somebody who's probably going to stab me in the back or maybe not reciprocate the way I think or reciprocate the way it should look in my mind and in my heart and from my past experience. And God says, you know what? Give yourself away. Give yourself away. God, you know, as a matter of fact, let's just look at Matthew 22, 37 through 40. It says, Jesus replied, and Jesus is a man asked what the two of the what are the most important commandments. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. We are commanded, my friends, to give ourselves away." And Jesus is unapologetic about this. Not me. Jesus. We are commanded to give ourselves away. And guys, I'm not going to lie. I stand here in this pulpit with fear and trembling, and I stand here just thinking, man, that is heavy. That is heavy to talk about devotion and just feel my legs buckle a little bit under that devotion when I am called out to give myself away. So whatever logical or emotional hurdles you are facing right now, as that kind of goes through your head as you kind of like, man, I'm really selfish. You know, I mean, I get it. That whatever emotional hurdles you are facing in the context of this information, we have to remember that if there's no pain, there's no gain. It's a development process. He's trying to develop this. We call it sanctification, right? And I love it. I saw a meme not too long ago or a GIF, and it was a man, it's like my sanctification process. It's a guy trying to walk up an escalator, and he keeps on falling down the escalator as it's pulling him up. It's development. Devotion is development. His devotion wants to develop us. And we only can do this if we give ourselves away. These people in the first century church were throwing themselves just away. That's why it was so powerful. It was just a choice, a simple choice to repent, to turn around, to have the Holy Spirit use them, to totally just love people. And so how do we do it? Just real quick, how do we do this as we come into this close, as we land the plane? How do we do it? How do we love? How do we give ourselves away? Guys, I'm going to say it's four things. One of them is fear of the Lord. The second one is fellowship. The third one is sacrifice. And fourth is exercise faith. Now, guys, I know that you think that all the scriptures on fear of the Lord are at your local Hobby Lobby on plaques. But they are not. In fact, I found something very important about the fear of the Lord as I was looking through this, is that the fear of the Lord is awe, to be in awe of God. And when we are in awe of God and what He does, something crazy happens. It actually says, and I'm just going to read you a few Psalms just to like get you in the headspace. It says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. So He's got like, when we fear the Lord, He's got this like protective zone over us. I would like to call it God's workshop. It is the workshop where He shares wisdom and knowledge, because fear of the Lord, what? Brings wisdom. Fear of the Lord brings understanding. Oh, wait, like all of a sudden, He's protected us to have this whole experience to be able to, like, let's look at another one. Psalm 33, 18 through 19. Behold the eye of the Lord. It is on those who fear Him. And I look at that and we have this place to work. We have infinite ways when we work in the fear of the Lord to give ourselves away. That's what that space is for. Use it. It's the platform to use, the fear of the Lord. Learn how to give yourself away. It will be effortless, because once you do that, once you give yourself away, it's just going to be just amazing. You're going to find yourself in some crazy places feeling God's love. So there's so many more. You know, He wants to teach us in that space of fearing the Lord. He wants to give us that wisdom and instruction. So guys, there's so many verses on fear of the Lord. It's just crazy. He's really a place of refuge, an eternal workshop where He shares endless ways of how to be devoted, guys. And so then it says, and we can, going back to the book of Acts, it says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. So guys, once we fear the Lord, we have this outpouring that God wants us to be in fellowship. So guys, once we fear the Lord and we have that workshop, everybody can fear the Lord. He wants to teach us. He wants to show us how through faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. If you're in His Word, we know that we can find Him in His Word. We can do these things. We can fight fear of the Lord. I read my Bible and I'm in awe of God all the time. You know, Paul says it's in nature. I mean, we can look at the stars in the universe and see how all the planets just perfectly sit where they do. And I mean, how can you not be in awe? And when we're in awe, we want to be in fellowship. We want to share that with people, guys. We should be sharing that with one another, guys. Be authentic. Find people who will challenge you. Can you do that for me? Can you find people who will challenge you? Will you? Will you not? Don't do it for me. Cross that. Do it for the Lord. Find people who will challenge you and people who you can challenge in fellowship. Have those hard conversations. Talk about doctrine. Talk about those things. If you don't have someone in your life that's challenging you right now, then where is the development? Are you sitting in the same space? Are you engaging in fellowship? If you are, amazing. God bless you. If not, don't wait for the person to approach you. I'm so excited, Lord. Just bring that person to me. I'm going to see what you're going to do. Don't. Step out. Step out in faith that He can meet you there. Don't get in a bubble, man. Please do not wait for God to magically make things happen. Don't be zealous to serve one another. Okay? And so, and then in verse 45, it says, and then they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. And so there's this concept of sacrifice. They're just giving it all away, doing what costs them. And that's who we are, not just monetarily. You know, guys, my boss, Ernest, he always says that, you know, people will throw money at me all day long to help my ministry, but to get people to come out and spend their time, just, you know, I might as well if I held my breath, I'd be dead. Time is the most precious monetary, like in this temporary situation we're in, time is the most precious, not money. And we need to sacrifice it for one another, guys. The Lord wants your time. The Lord wants your currency to be His hands and His feet. If you want the Lord to speak to you, give yourself away. Remember then, Jesus spoke to the multitudes. Remember when He did that? It's funny. He had all these people come out and they were just like, yeah, you know, we traveled from everywhere. And He's like, yeah, and let's talk about farmers and seeds and this and that. And yeah, there's good seeds and bad seeds. And I can imagine all those people are like, huh? And then He turns to the people who are devoted, the people who gave their lives, the people who were going to sacrifice it all, and He explained to them. And for those who give yourself away, you will know His heart. His heart is devotion, and His heart, He wants to share Himself with you. So guys, I challenge you guys, sacrifice, sacrifice. And that means just doing things you don't want to do, knowing that it's the right thing to do. Guys, go out, be like David. He says, you know, when the guy offered give the place for the sacrifice, David said, no, I insist on buying it for full price. I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord. I will not present burnt offerings that do not cost me nothing. And then lastly, 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from the house to house, they ate their food in gladness and simplicity of heart. I love that. And so, you know, they were out in their faith, like just, they didn't care. Their faith was so amazing. They were worshiping in the temple around all the Jews. Like they'd go during prayer time and, you know, all the Jews knew something was up. You know, it's like, what's the elephant in the room? All these Christians hanging out in the temple with us? They were just, it had to have been crazy, but they were stepping out. Guys, we got to step out. Faith is such a crucial, you know, we have to exercise it. We can't wait for things to happen. We got to step out and let God meet us so He can speak to us. He wants to meet you. He's not your genie. He is the holy and righteous God, and you have the privilege of being His friend, and He's ready to do that for you, guys. Step out in situations that the Lord will meet you in. He wants to develop your faith so He can show you His devotion, so He can show you His heart. And guys, lastly, praising God and having favor with all the people. That's what they did. When they had this and all this was happening, man, they were just praising the Lord. The longer you walk with the Lord, the stronger your faith should be, guys. It's just the way it works. And guys, if not, you might be serving the wrong God. I'm not sure. And I'll stand by that one. So if you know where to get it, remember in closing, if you know where to get repentance, Holy Spirit, Jesus, what? Prayer. Okay. When those things happen and we get it going, unity, loyalty, all that other cool stuff, joy, love. And then how we use it and how we do it is that we become in awe of God, right? So we fear the Lord. So through the fear of the Lord, we have worship of awe, to work for Him, to give ourselves away, to worship, pray, and be in the Word. And then we have fellowship, so we get to do that with people. And people get to come alongside us, and we get to go alongside them. And then we get to sacrifice in the art of giving ourselves away. It is the art of giving ourselves away, and God has given us a platform in the fear of God to do that in an infinite way. And then finally, we get to exercise our faith, which will make you step out in places where God can meet you and reveal Himself and His heart to you, which will strengthen you guys, which will fill you guys with the Spirit, which will fuel your devotion, which will keep you in awe, and forever it goes. It's just a circle. It's wonderful. All right. So guys, I love you. Thank you for listening. Man, and guys, if you're wondering about all this devotional stuff and you don't understand God's love and just this is all weird, I just want to give you Romans 10:13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you don't know about what I'm talking about and you want to know about how to get it, call upon the name of Jesus Christ. He is waiting. Just like he was waiting for me, he's waiting for you guys. Let's pray out. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you even more for your devotion that we deserve even less. But Father, you have given it to us. And Father, I pray that you would just touch each of these individuals' hearts individually, corporately. I pray you would bless your church, Lord. Not only would you bless your church, but that you would give it away, that they would just want to give themselves away, Lord. So Father, we just give it all to you. We just want to glorify you in all we do, and we pray your will be done. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.